Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the TGS second quarter 2010 teleconference. For your information, today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Robert Hopp, CEO. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Hello, and welcome to the TGS second quarter 2010 conference call. My name is Robert Hopp. I'm CEO of TGS, and joining me on the call today is Kristian Johansen, our CFO. Earlier today, we posted our second quarter earnings release and held a presentation of those results. A replay of that presentation is available on our website. I hope that you've had an opportunity to view that release, and we'll now give just a brief summary of the main points of the release before opening the call to your questions. Our net revenues for Q2 of $112.3 million were down 10% compared to the same period one year ago. Net late sales were $64.6 million, down 24% from late sales in Q2 of 2009. Factors that impacted revenue for the quarter were the later-than-expected announcement of the Norwegian 21st exploration round and an early response from some of TGS's customers to the uncertain regulatory environment in the deepwater Gulf of Mexico. For the first half of 2010, net revenues were $260.6 million, an increase of 34% over the first half of 2009. Net pre-funding revenues for Q2 were $43 million, up 27% compared to a year ago, reflecting increased investment during the quarter versus Q2 of 2009. Pre-funding revenues covered 44% of our investments in Q2. However, the pre-funding revenues have covered 58% of the company's investment year to date. 73% of our multi-client revenues came from projects in progress and 10% from fully amortized surveys. The multi-client amortization rate during the quarter was 51%, above our guided range for the full year of 2010. Amortization does fluctuate from quarter to quarter, depending upon the sales mix of projects. In addition, as a consequence of recent developments in the Gulf of Mexico, the company has revised the near-term revenue forecast of certain projects, resulting in this higher-than-forecasted amortization rate. Our resulting operating profit for Q2 of 2010 was $33.4 million, representing 30% of net revenues. As previously announced in our earnings update, operating costs in Q2 include non-recurring items of $5.7 million related to the early termination of the Northern Genesis charter. Operating profit for the first half of 2010 was $92.3 million, up 24% from the same period in 2009. Earnings per share in Q2 were $0.18 per share versus $0.39 per share a year ago, and earnings per share in the first half of 2010 were $0.58 per share compared to $0.52 per share for the same period in 2009. Cash flow from operations after taxes but before investments was $74.1 million, up from $44.5 million one year ago. Our backlog was $98.1 million at the end of Q2. The near-term visibility of sales in the Gulf of Mexico has become unclear due to the potential regulation that might develop as a result of the Deepwater Horizon disaster and the resulting oil spill. Since our earnings update that we held on July 8th, we have seen a myriad of proposals being debated in the U.S. government that could cause changes in the deepwater operating environment. Until these regulations become more clear, a few of our customers have indicated that they will view large seismic investments with a bit more caution than they were towards the end of Q2. It is very clear, though, that the Gulf of Mexico will, medium to long term, continue to serve as the major hydrocarbon-producing basin in the U.S. TGS remains confident that the company has one of the highest quality libraries in the Gulf of Mexico and is pleased to see growing interest from our customers in funding projects in frontier and more established basins outside of the Gulf of Mexico. The vessel market remains oversupplied, and TGS continues to review opportunities to invest countercyclically in order to take full advantage of this market. Increased investments on new, attractive projects, coupled with the uncertain climate in the Gulf of Mexico, has prompted us to revise our 2010 guidance. TGS Now guides as follows. Multi-client library investments of $300 to $330 million, and previously our guidance was $270 to $300 million. We are leaving our pre-funding guidance static from what we had previously guided, and so we expect average pre-funding in the range of 50 to 60% of investments. We are increasing slightly our multi-client amortization rate that we're guiding, and we now guide in the range of 42 to 48% of net revenues. Previously, we had guided 37 to 43%. In net revenues, we expect to be in the range of 550 to 600 million, whereas previously we had guided 560 to 600 million. The proportion of revenues that we expect from our contract business is approximately 5% of that overall revenue mix. At this time, we'll open your call for questions. Elaine, if you could start us, please.
Certainly. Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key, followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. Our first question today comes from James Redfern of Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. It's James Redfern here from Merrill Lynch. I hope you're well. Just a few questions, please. Firstly, in terms of the Gulf of Mexico, will TGS be undertaking any multi-client surveys in the Gulf in 2011? And if not, will you be able to maintain the same level of investments by investing in other regions?
Yeah, so right now it's too early to guide on investments in 2011. You know, we'll put that program together in the fourth quarter of 2010. As we sort of go through our bottom-up budgeting process for 2011, and we'll guide on our particular investment levels in our Q4 2010 earnings release in our call. I think what we are seeing, James, is we are seeing a lot of interest in 3D projects outside the Gulf of Mexico right now. And in fact, we've recently announced three new 3D projects in Northwest Europe. We're seeing a lot of activity in West Africa, and today we have announced an arrangement with Senegal and the government of Angola to have exclusive rights to shoot 3D data in four deep water blocks of Angola. So we're seeing a considerable amount of 3D interest in many of the basins in which we have already a strong presence, maybe with 2D data sets. But also we're seeing a lot of interest in basins in which TGS has not been active in. And so that's somewhat encouraging. And so as we sort of build our investment plan for 2011, I'm certainly not going to rule out investments in the Gulf of Mexico, because we believe that medium term that's going to remain an important region for customer interest. We had not even, in early 2010, we had communicated that after the Justice Project, we didn't have any intention to invest any more in 2010 in the Gulf of Mexico in terms of new seismic acquisition. We're going to stick to that. You know, if you look at our vessel schedule that we published today, we show that we don't have any vessel capacity allocated for any new projects in 2010 for the Gulf of Mexico. But right now, for 2011, it's too early to comment on what our expectations are from that standpoint.
Okay, great. Thank you. And then you've also mentioned that you expect potentially weaker sales from the Gulf of Mexico to be offset by strength in other regions this year, which is why you haven't really changed your revenue guidance too much. Are you referring to strength in the North Sea and West Africa? Are they the main regions of strength that you're thinking of?
That's where we're seeing most of the customer interest right now. Yeah, are in those regions.
Okay, and then finally, I think it's safe to assume that we will see lower late sales in the second half of this year. Do you see that materially impacting your margins for the second half of 2010?
Well, I mean, we haven't necessarily communicated that we expect lower late sales in the second half of the year. What we've communicated is that, you know, there's a component of uncertainty that we've now built into our new revenue guidance, which is why we've sort of broadened it and you know, on the lower end, I should say. And we've done that by going through and doing a very careful sales forecast on a project-by-project basis. That's another reason why, you know, our amortization rate is a bit higher in Q2. So we feel that we have taken into account, you know, the various scenarios that might arise from you know, regulatory measures that are being discussed in the U.S. government in terms of, you know, what our customers' behaviors might be in the Gulf of Mexico and coming up with this new guidance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously we're also figuring in, you know, some new projects that we've recently announced as well, and you know, and calculating in the revenue contribution from those.
Sure. Okay. That was all for me.
Yes,
thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now move to Christopher Muller-Look of Arctic Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Christopher Muller-Look in here from Arctic. Could you just, in general terms, describe what will cause the difference between the high and low end of the investment and revenue guidance you have given for 2010?
Yeah, you know, what effects on the investment into things, you know, obviously, you know, the performance of vessels, you know, as you've seen in the past, if we take on a new vessel, if delivery of that vessel for some whatever reason, you know, maybe a project that it's on right now might come in late, that might push investments out further into the next year, that kind of thing. So we are guiding a range on investments of 300 to 330 million that sort of takes into account a number of scenarios with the capacity that we've secured for 2010. On the revenue side, you know, we certainly don't want to be specific about you know, exactly, you know, what we're forecasting on a basin by basin or project by project basis on revenue. I just say that, you know, we have a number, you know, we've looked at our forecasts in each region actually on a project-by-project basis, and we've built into the range that we're communicating some various scenarios that reflect uncertainty that we see. And you know, one of our big markets in the multi-client business. So, you know, TGS typically you know, guides a range of revenues that take into account, and as you know, Christopher, following us for quite some time, it's very difficult to predict on a quarter by quarter basis the timing of some large license sales. So, you know, what we do is we've looked at the second half of the year, we've looked at the first half, what we've already closed, and we've looked at the second half, and we've figured in all the various scenarios that we can see potentially happening in the second half to come up with the range that we're communicating today.
Okay, thank you. And it also seems like you have increased the disclosure here in terms of geographical information on the segment 4. And I just had a quick question. I only have two quarters there, but is there any specific reason why the operating margin seems to be lower in Africa, Middle East, and Asia Pacific compared to the other two main regions?
Well, let me answer that question, Christopher. First of all, I think the reason that we publish more information than we did previously is the new IFRS standard that requires us to do so. I think it's important to say that we don't run the business exactly the same way as we report it on a regional basis. I mean, we have a different follow-up system internally. So in that sense, it's very difficult to kind of make up a judgment whether one region is more profitable than the other, mainly because we don't distribute the corporate costs evenly to the different regions. So in that sense, I don't want to answer your question with regards to one region versus the other. Because, as I said, the corporate cost is not divided evenly between the different regions.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Todd Scholl of RBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. My question is relating to the directional survey business that you purchased from P2 Energy Solutions. Could you give us a little bit more detail about that? Where is the majority of the services located in North America? Additionally, are you going to be looking to grow this business? Should we start to think of it as becoming a larger portion of your revenue on a go-forward basis?
Yeah, so where these directional surveys are located, if you look at where a lot of the rig count increase is in the onshore U.S., it's associated primarily with resource plays or shale plays that are being identified, plays like the Bakken, Barnett, Haynesville, Eagle Ford, and Marcellus. And the way, these plays are explored for and produced are via horizontal drilling and then hydrofracking through the wellbore to pull the oil out of the rock. And so it becomes very, very important that oil companies fully understand the location of the wellbores in relation to both the formation, the rock itself, as well as the other surrounding wellbores to make sure that they're not fracking into rock that's already been fractured in an adjacent well. So it's a, where oil companies used to drill a lot of wells, vertical wells to produce prospects, now the game primarily is horizontal drilling. And in fact, something like 60% of all wells drilled since the year 2000 have been directional wells or horizontal wells. So it's become more important to understand where those wells sit in the subsurface. So this, we had already started moving into this product line as an addition, Todd, to our well logs business, our well log data library. And this acquisition, immediately gives us 38,000 surveys and sort of leaps us in a big way into this business in a much more rapid fashion. We expect this to be continue to be an important. It'll grow. Our geological products and services group contributes about 12% of our revenue. If you look at our Q2 numbers, so it's somewhere between 10 and 15% routinely. So this will be part of that. I'm not going to comment on, what component of that full, 10 to 15% it will be. Initially it'll start out small, but we expect it to grow quite considerably as we build the library from the 38,000 that we have up to many times that here in the next few years.
Could you put a percentage around it? I mean, is it all located in the U.S. shale basins, or is it 80% in the shales, or is there any of it that's conventional?
Todd, I'm not qualified to answer that. I'm pretty
okay.
Sure a vast majority are in the shale plays, I believe.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks, Todd.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will take our next question from Tor Lunder of DNB Noir. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. One question on the U.S. Gulf of Mexico. If we, in, say, late October or early November, should see an announcement from the MMS that the March round will be not canceled but delayed until August 2011. What impact do you think that will have on 2010 sales and also on 2011, whether it will be compensated or whether it will have a negative impact on 2011? Partly based on what I guess the same happened in October 2006 with 2007 licensing round.
Yeah, so TGS is best quarters are Q3 and Q4. of most years, and there are a couple of drivers for that, one of which is, you know, companies preparing for the Central Gulf of Mexico realm, which we have a very large footprint. So undoubtedly, as you point out, that, you know, the Central Gulf of timing of the Central Gulf of Mexico round tends to be important in terms of timing of revenue, you know, historically. You know, these sales are typically officially announced, as you point out, in October and November. But, you know, so right now it's uncertain as to exactly when the government would come out and sort of state or talk about the expectations for if the round's going to be held in March and when the round's going to be held. It may not be until October, November before we hear. You know, we are so I guess from one standpoint, you can envision that if a sale is pre-announced that it's going to be delayed, and if that pre-announcement is early, then, you know, you might envision a scenario where oil companies would perhaps delay their seismic investments by a quarter, because it wouldn't be as urgent that they would have to prepare for the next Central Gulf of Mexico round. On the other hand, if oil companies, you know, are saying, hey, we got to keep working this area because we won't know for sure until November whether the round's going to be held, we don't want to be at a competitive disadvantage because we haven't prepared, then we may, at least until a formal announcement that it's canceled or delayed, we would see a normal sales pattern. It's just too early to tell. There's so much uncertainty right now related to the deepwater Gulf of Mexico that it's hard to comment. I will say that, yeah, I mean, if the sale is moved, you know, from in terms of a delay or if it's canceled, we would expect to see an effect on our sales in the Gulf of Mexico. I will say in the guidance that we're communicating today, we have taken scenarios into account that we might expect to see out of regulations that are being debated and what we, you know, in what we might expect to see in terms of, you know, timing of the Central Gulf of Mexico round. So you know, we've taken those things into account.
Okay, so if I understand you right, your kind of low end scenario or low end part of guidance, would that then also be the case if they go out in, say, in November and say that the March licensing round is in will be in August instead? You still think that the low end of guidance should be achievable?
I think that's pretty safe to assume that, yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now move to Egle Domtate of Terra Market. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I have two questions, please. Firstly, could you give any guidance for your personal costs for the second half of this year? And then secondly, could you give any indication on your sales exposure in general to the small independent oil companies in the Gulf of Mexico? That would be helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, so in terms of personnel costs, we, you know, in Q2 we reported personnel costs of $10.5 million. That's down quite a bit from the same period of 2009. If in 2009, in the midst of the financial crisis, we took some cost reduction measures that involved you know, a reduction in headcount. We've more or less maintained those. As we've moved into 2010, our headcounts increased slightly, but we're still way down from where we were at the beginning of 2009. And you know, I would expect that our personnel costs would, you know, in the next two quarters would be fairly similar to what you've seen in Q1, Q2. And I'm sorry, I don't recall the second part of your question.
It was a question about your exposure to small independents in the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah. So you know, small independents do make up a component of our revenue. Small independents in the Gulf of Mexico make up a component of our revenue in the Gulf of Mexico, obviously, that is important. As it turns out, when you look at it, it's for the deep water, for the entire Gulf of Mexico, what you regard as small independents probably make up somewhere around 10% of our overall revenue globally, purely associated with the Gulf of Mexico.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. We will now take a question from Henry Tarr of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Hi. I just had a quick question on Wide Azimuth Investment. I just wondered how much of the total multi-client investment through sort of 2009 and 10 could be attributed to Wide Azimuth. Would I be in the region if I was sort of 40 or 50%?
It's probably somewhere in that area. We don't guide on individual basins in terms of investment or individual even regions. But, obviously, if you go look at our, the large component of our investments are in the vessel capacity that we use to acquire projects. In fact, that's 90% of our project cost typically. And, a Wide Azimuth crew, my rule of thumb can be, and sometimes in excess of 2 times what a narrow azimuth operation could cost. So you could probably go back and calculate it that way.
Okay, great. And then my second question, just is there any difference in the economics that you've seen historically between surveys in the Gulf and internationally?
I'm sorry, Henry, the question again?
If there was any difference in the economics between surveys that you shot in the Gulf and surveys that you shot internationally.
Yeah. So we really look at our investments on a portfolio basis globally. In other words, our project developers in West Africa are competing against projects in the Gulf of Mexico. And probably the more important, sort of yardstick when we look at projects is sort of what we expect what it would be the dollar return from every dollar invested in a project, and we use that yardstick regardless of where, for the most part, of regardless of where we are in the world. So fundamentally, there is no when we sanction a project, you can more or less imagine that the returns that we expect on a project in a frontier basin that we sanction is similar to a project in a more mature basin like the Gulf of Mexico. Now, there's obviously differences, right? We'll have some projects that will return, 5 or 6 times costs, and we'll have some that will return, the odd dog, as it were, that would return, 1.8 or 1.5 times cost, but those happen everywhere, right? And so it's you really can't say that there's one particular region that returns higher than another. They're pretty similar.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. We will take a follow-up question from Thor Lunder of DNB Noir. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi again, guys. I'm looking at your investments in the Eastern Hemisphere, which I guess is pretty much everything except U.S. Gulf of Mexico. It has more or less exploded since 2005, 2006, both in terms of revenues and in terms of investments. What is the background for this, do you think it can continue at a pace even close to this going forward?
Yeah, Tor, first of all, we don't guide or we don't really talk about the investment split by region. So I'm not sure where you're getting that.
You have it in the annual report on an annual basis, but not on a quarterly basis.
Yeah. I wouldn't – right now, I would say I wouldn't necessarily make a call that there would be a change in that distribution going forward. We have communicated, in the next 2 quarters, obviously, we won't be acquiring any new data in the Gulf of Mexico, but that's always been our plan. We do have a number of projects that we're looking at that could occur in the future, but, in 2010, we've always – plan to take a bit of a pause on in terms of acquisition in the second half of 2010. So you can imagine that in the next two quarters, probably more of our investments going to end up outside of the Western Hemisphere because we've announced some additional 3Ds in Northwest Europe, and then of course we're going to expand our 3D library quite extensively in West Africa is the plan in the second half of 2010.
Yeah, and do you think that you are gaining market share for multi-client projects? Ex-U.S. Gulf of Mexico, or is the market just expanding rapidly?
Well, I think where we have taken the approach in the past year and a half to 2 years of investing countercyclically, because we've maintained our investments for the most part, even through the financial crisis in 2009, whereas a lot of our peers have reduced their multi-client investments during the recession, and so you can imagine that countercyclical investment strategy has yielded more data for the same amount of dollars spent. So I do think that we have gained market share in terms of data acquired, and I think you've seen in the recent financial results that we've also gained market share in terms of revenues for the multi-client business.
Okay, thank you.
As we have no further questions, I would like to turn the call back over to Mr. Hobbs for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you very much for attending the call today, and look forward to talking to the group again in November for our Q3 release. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, that will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.